Today's gospel is from the first chapter of John, beginning with verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to really think of something today that's very, very profound. That the God of the entire universe, the creator of all things, knows your name. He knows my name. He knows the name of all these people that we read about in the Bible. He knows us. And he's so large and big and powerful and majestic, and yet he knows us. Probably Psalm 8 says it in one of the best ways. It says, "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the worlds, over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet." The personal, that God is personal, not private, but God is personal, is probably the reason why you're here today, why you're worshiping, because God has reached to you in your life and has called you to faith. That is why we worship. And it's a wonderful thing because God is a God of the universe, but he doesn't hide from us. He doesn't make himself hidden or difficult to find. In fact, if anyone is searching, it's him looking for us, not us looking for God. He's not lost. He's searching for you and for me and calling us by faith. He's personal. It began, if you go back in the Bible, all the way back to Adam and Eve, that Jesus, God, is walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. He knows them. And then God speaks to Noah, commands him to build a boat. God speaks clearly to Abraham and gives him the covenant, and then to his descendants, to Jacob and to Joseph and to Moses. God speaks. He knows their name. He calls them by name. And the judges and the priests, like today's reading about Samuel. Samuel, God called Samuel by name. It says it's when the word of the Lord was not heard very often, and Samuel didn't yet know how to discern the voice of the Lord. But God called to Samuel, and finally Samuel said, "Here I am, Lord, speak." The all-knowing God knows our names. It says in Isaiah 43, this is what the Lord says, that he created you. And the words that the Bible uses are biblical words, O Jacob. He formed you, O Israel. But you could easily put your own name right there in that passage. And then the Lord says through Isaiah, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine." I called you by name. Have you noticed when we do a baptism, or when you were baptized, or when you've seen someone baptized, does the pastor, whoever's doing the baptism, say, "Hey, random person, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit"? Do they say that? They say your name, usually your full name. You know, "My name is Jeffrey Dale Teeples. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." He calls us by name. I love that t-shirt. Maybe you've seen it. It says something like this: Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. Have you seen that? Actually, that could be a worldwide phenomenon, because actually that is true about every person, that Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. We all are God's favorite. Isn't that incredible? He knows us. He loves us. He helps us. And that mystery of his glory, I think, is explained so clearly in Psalm 139, which was read so well by Roger, that the Lord knows us and he searches us and he knows everything about us. And there could be two reactions to that all-knowing. It could be comforting, right? Knowing that God knows everything about us. He knows what we're going through. He knows when we're in trouble. He knows when we're in pain. It can also maybe strike fear in your heart. It's like, oh my God, God knows everything I'm doing. I kind of want to keep some things private. Kind of want to keep some things hidden from God. That might strike fear in your heart. But I think as soon as you understand and recognize the character of our God, that fear is dispelled. Because God isn't the one that sees our sin and our shame and our trouble and says, you know, I've about had enough of you. It's time for me to move on to other better people. That's not how God is. In fact, when God is described, when Moses is up on the mountain asking God to reveal his character to him, this is what the Lord says: the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will also by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. That's God. He's just and true, but he's also loving, faithful, abiding, gracious, merciful, slow to anger. Today's gospel, we saw two of the disciples, Philip and Nathanael, being called by Jesus. And it's pretty abrupt, if I wouldn't say so myself, that all of a sudden Jesus shows up. And we know that Philip was a follower of John, so he likely heard what John had said about Jesus. And when Jesus just said to him, "Follow me," Philip does. And he goes and tells Nathanael about, "We found the one who is to come, Jesus of Nazareth." Nazareth? Are you kidding me? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael wonders. And when he meets Jesus, first of all, Philip says the same thing to Nathanael that Jesus said to his first followers: come and see. Come and see. And then Nathanael is startled when Jesus says, "I know you." He's like, "How do you know me?" He said, "I saw you when you're under the fig tree." Now, that's another story that we don't know what happened under that fig tree, but it must have been something profound that Jesus saw him in whatever situation he was and knew him even before Philip came to him. That was enough for Philip and Nathanael to say, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And again, we would say that's quite profound. Today, we're focusing on the mission, that God has got the whole world in his hands. And I wanted to put up here something that's absolutely something to be very happy about and proud of, that our congregation, we give 10% of all of our offerings to other ministries. And they're listed here. This is who we gave to in last year, actually, the churches, the ministries we support. And because of that phenomena, and because of next week, Bill Moberly is going to be here to share a bit about our ministries with Awakening Lives for World Mission, Dr. Han in Vietnam, and also Sam, Pastor Sam in Cambodia. I wanted to spend a little bit of time sharing about a ministry that's very dear to my heart, the ministry in Nicaragua. So we're going to be spending a little time today on Nicaragua, next week on some of the East Asian ministries. But just to hold this list in front of us and be grateful for the ways that we can reach out through other people. We don't have to be in all these places, but we can share our gifts with them so that they can do the ministry that they're called to do. Rick Warren is famous for saying, Christians are a lot like manure. If you spread them out, they can do some good. Did you hear that? You're not farmers, I guess. That one always had a big laugh when I did it in Minnesota, right? It's true. It's like if the word of Christ is all just right here, and we don't ever share that with the people around us, it can start to get a little stale. But when that message is taken out, that's when it really comes alive. I met Juan Benito, who's the pastor in Nicaragua, in 2011. And Juan's story of salvation is very interesting because he grew up in Catholic tradition, and he understood that he was such a terrible sinner, that he was so far from grace, that there was really no hope for him. And even though he would go to church, it never ministered to him in understanding that God loved him, forgave him, and gave him his grace. It was in 1998 that there was a big hurricane in Nicaragua called Mitch, and it devastated the whole area. But aid workers showed up from Germany, from the Lutheran Church in Germany, and they began to help rebuild these communities after this hurricane. And they came in contact with Juan Benito, and he was intrigued at the concept of grace that they talked about, something that Lutheran missionaries teach about, that it isn't about all that you've done or what you need to do. It's that God claims you, period, and loves you and receives you by faith into his kingdom. Up to that time, he thought he had to earn God's love. But then he realized in that moment that the scriptures were open to him and that he was saved by grace through faith, not by works, and that salvation was his. And that's what called him to the ministry. And he became a Lutheran pastor, and he's still the Lutheran pastor in a village of Santa Teresa, where he is still there. And he's also the president of the LCMC churches in Nicaragua. There are 11 congregations and 7 pastors. Chris and I got to go to Nicaragua 3 times, and it is quite an experience. They have a good sense of humor. They're kind of a serious people because their life is hard, but they do have a sense of humor. I remember sitting in a hammock at one of the pastor's homes, just kind of hanging out and having a snack with them, and there was this little baby there, and they asked if I wanted to hold the baby, and they kind of had a funny smirk on their face, and I said, oh, sure. So I take this little guy into my arms, and we're rocking in the hammock, and he pees all over me. And I think that they knew that that was going to happen because they don't diaper their children the same way we do, okay? So it's kind of just everything goes everywhere. That was an experience. And then another one was one of the families had a little baby boy, and they insisted that I would be a part of the baptism of this little child. And so I talked to the pastor of the church, and I said, I think it'd be better if you did the baptism, but I mean, he said, no, they really want you to be a part of that. They're so grateful. This is our 3rd trip to Nicaragua. They're so grateful for the ministry that you've done here among us. And so I took part in this baptism. But when this little boy saw my Caucasian face, he started to cry so loudly. It drowned out everything that was happening in the room. And yes, he got baptized, but he did so under duress. But it's just such a wonderful people. When we finished our first time in Nicaragua, we were sitting around with the other pastors, all 7 of them, and other church members, and talking about our experience. And one of the pastors said, when Pastor Teeples shared his water with us, I knew that he was my brother. You see, the water at the place we were working was not very healthy or good for people. And so we would purchase water so we wouldn't get sick off the water. And when it came time, we were working side by side, we would pass our water around to whoever needed a drink. And that simple act communicated to Virgilio that we were brothers and sisters in Christ. In the evening of that first mission trip, there was a time when one of the pastors, Adrian, came to me and presented to me this cross. I was going to bring it up here today, and I forgot. He brought this cross that said Jesus on it, and it was hand-carved from laurel wood. He's a woodworker, and he wanted to give it to me as a gift, and I said, well, I would gladly pay you for this because it's so beautiful. He said, if you pay me, it wouldn't be a gift. And I looked on the back of it. He signed his name, and then I recognized the date, June 20th, 2014, exactly 1 year to the day after my dad had passed. And what was really amazing about that is how the Holy Spirit worked in that in such a cool way, because the year before we were going to go to Nicaragua, and I said, no, I think it's too quick. Let's wait a year. And so we didn't go the year. If we would have gone, it would have been the same time my dad would have been sick and dying. But instead, we waited 1 year, and then he brought me that gift right on the anniversary of his death. Last week, we discussed in our Christ Connect time that if we view the materially poor as less than us, because, well, we have wealth, we have a career, we have college degrees, then, or if we feel superior to them, then that makes them feel less. And instead, it's not a reciprocal relationship. But what we need to do when we understand and help the materially poor is understand that all of us are broken. All of us are broken in our relationship with others, with God, with creation, with justice. And so in that space, we are unified with our brothers and sisters all around the world. When we went to this Nicaragua the first time, we thought we were going to build a church because that's what they told us we could help with. And all we did was help start the church. We moved some rocks. We dug the trenches for the foundation, but we didn't get very far. And then they kept wanting to bring us to other communities and meet other churches and other people. And before long, we realized that our purpose wasn't to build a church. Yes, we could help them. We could bring some of the finances to help them get started. But our purpose was to share our lives with them and get to know them and understand that they can teach us a great deal about life. And because I've known them and I brought this ministry in my heart these years to you and to our mission team. And Nicaragua, life is difficult. They are by far the second most impoverished nation in Latin America. But they're relational, and they have such a beautiful way of expressing their faith. Their prayers are fervent, personal. They always pray, mi Señor, my Lord, not the Lord, my Lord. And they're also community-oriented, and they will think about how they can help out all the people, not just a few. So today I'm reflecting on the joy that God knows our name. And I wanted you to meet, even just for a short bit, one of the pastors from Nicaragua. And I encourage you, if you would, to come right after church at 10:45 into the fellowship hall, as we're going to be having a Zoom call with five of the pastors. It was going to be two, but then when they all found out who it was and what was happening, they decided, let's all do it. So there's five pastors that are going to be sharing about their ministry, it'll be an exciting time to meet them. But I had Juan prepare a video ahead of time to share with you, and so you could introduce himself to you, because I wasn't sure he could be there at our adult class coming up. So are we ready to play that video? I want to also share the transcript of that is in your program today. And so he's going to be speaking all in Spanish, but thanks to Colleen Swanson, you have a translation here. We're not going to play his entire message, but a good portion of it, so that you can at least hear his voice, but he'll be sharing exactly what's written here in your program. Go ahead.
Buenos días, queridas hermanas, queridos hermanos de la iglesia Pastor de las Colinas o Pastor de los Cerros, que es lo mismo. Me complace eternamente tener este espacio para enviarles mis más fraternos saludos en el nombre de nuestro Señor y Salvador Jesucristo, a quien le agradezco por darme esta oportunidad y agradezco a la vez al Pastor Jeff por esta iniciativa. Soy el pastor Juan Benito Espinal, de la Iglesia Evangélica Luterana de Nicaragua, miembro de la comunidad de iglesias en Misiones por Cristo. En mi labor pastoral atiendo dos congregaciones, la Iglesia Nueva Creación en Cristo y la Iglesia Luterana, también Dios con nosotros. Aún en medio de las limitaciones que tenemos, porque no podemos esconder que tenemos muchas limitaciones, sobre todo de carácter económico, pero Dios nos impulsa y nos da la fuerza para realizar las actividades que realizamos. Somos un cuerpo de iglesias y por eso se llama Iglesias Evangélicas Luteranas de Nicaragua, porque está conformada por 11 congregaciones, 7 pastores, y todos desarrollamos una labor pastoral de manera voluntaria totalmente.
That's interesting, but like most of us, we didn't understand a word he said. But I just want to highlight what he does say in the program here. It is a challenge to go to Nicaragua because I'm not a Spanish speaker, and so we've had translators, which is interesting. And to communicate with Juan Benito, I use WhatsApp and Google Translate. And so we try to keep our messaging as simple as possible, but we can understand each other in that way. But what he's in the middle of the first page, he's talking about the churches that he serves and the churches that are part of their fellowship. And as I said, they don't have the money to pay their pastors. Their pastors are all volunteer as they work with the people. And they've also found ways to have an in with their country. I'm not going to read through this whole thing, but they're Lutheran, and on one side of it is the Catholic Church, which in Nicaragua is very works-oriented, and the other side of their faith is the Pentecostal churches, which are also very works-oriented. And so they are kind of helping people see the true God of the Bible as their ministry of grace. They have a lot of religious denominations there that are teaching their own way, and yet they are holding to Lutheran Christianity. It's interesting to go to Pastor Nestor's church, and as you turn to walk out in this Nicaraguan church painted bright green, there's a picture of Martin Luther on the top of it. It just doesn't seem to fit. It's like old German Luther right there on top of the church. And yet they believe in what we believe, and they're brothers and sisters in Christ. They've had some real headroads into children's ministry in the church where Juan Benito is, and that's a beautiful thing to see their children come together and share the gospel with the next generation. So I encourage you to come and be a part of this next hour so that you can learn more about the churches in Nicaragua. Both Dale Pope and Colleen Swanson are going to help with translating their message, and also Nestor's daughter speaks English, and so she'll help translate as we go. But it's a wonderful ministry, and I'm so grateful that we support it. So friends, God knows our name. He knows your name. He knows their names. He knows all of us, and he holds this world together. And when we find that we're in trouble and turmoil, in Nicaragua, they have no other place to go except run to God. And he is the one who keeps them in the eye of the storm. And he has the same for us. He holds us and helps us, and he ministers to us. He protects us. So, Lord, so we thank him that he knows us. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to spread the word through the ministries that we support. Lord, it is a joy to hear that our contributions help another congregation or another ministry that can help them sustain themselves, to feed the poor, to minister in your name. So Lord, continue to help us to be generous so that we as a church can be generous with your gifts. And thank you for your good word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.